With you, a beautiful mahalach of Rav Neventhal in his sefer. This guy again. We're not going to have time to fully go through the sugya of soulmates and all the different opinions. We'll save that for another time, Bezrat Hashem. But I do want to share a really insightful Dvarah Torah from Rav Neventhal. So we know there's a Gemara in Moed Katan. Gemara says like this: I'm a Rav. The Rav says. It's from the Torah, it's from the Nevi'im, and it's from the Ketuvim. It's clear that Me Hashem is Isha Le'ish. It's from God, a woman to man. Okay, it's clear, says Rav. There's another famous Gemara, I'm sure you've all heard of it. First Daf in Sota. It says 40 days before a person is born, what's decreed?
The son of this and the daughter of this are going to get married.
Exactly, who your soulmate is, as in who your first shares is. Okay, very controversial, very interesting Gemaras. Rav Neventhal points out that this is actually learned out from this week's Parsha. Can anyone guess where in this week's Parsha is there an allusion to the concept of soulmate? So Yitzchak, what specifically?
400
shekel. Interesting, that maybe also, because Avraham and Sarah involved there, might also be an allusion.
Oh, isn't like Eliezer...
Israel.
Ask Hashem to like show him
a sign.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do a quick review. You're right. Israel was written in the sixth parsha. Very cool. Very cool. According to the Midrash, the Hesped of Avraham Avinu was Israel. Fun. Good information. But on the simple level, look in the story of Eved Avraham Eliezer and Yitzchak. Okay. So Hashem needs to find a good shidduch for his son. He sends his servant Eved Avraham. And Eved Avraham decides he's going to make a sign. He talks to Hashem. He says, Hashem, if you send me a girl that will not only give me food, but also give food for my camels, then I'll know that this is the one. By the way, it wasn't just a random sign. To do a random sign is something called nichush. And that might not be something we'd look favorably upon. But it's a sign which related to the character traits of Rivka, right? If she's the type of girl that's going to run to give food for this servant and for her camels, so what does it show about this person? What does it show about this potential person? That she is
generous,
thoughtful, balat chesed, she ran, just like Avraham Avinu ran, right? And it shows that a midah of a Jew is someone who runs to do chesed, who has alacrity, wakes up early in the morning and just running to do mitzvah. So it wasn't just a stam sign. It was a sign that was related to her character. Anyways, okay, so she comes after the tefillah, boom, she runs, gives food for all the camels, and then Eliezer is convinced this is the one, and then they go to the negotiating table. They sit down with Laban, and Laban says, actually, maybe let's wait a little bit. I'm not so sure if we want to send our daughter away, our sister away so quickly. And so what does Eliezer say? Anybody remember? He says, no, we want her. Right away. And then they say, fine, let's ask Rivka. Rivka says,
yes.
And at that point, what does Laban respond?
Oh, did he ask, like, did Hashem
dance? Me Hashem adavar. Me yudkev av kedavar. It's from God. Okay? We can't argue. We got a sender. It's from God. So says the Gemara in Mod Katam, what do we see from here? That the Zivug is from God. Okay? Interestingly, who are we learning it out from? We're learning it out from Lavan, which is a fascinating source of our theology. There are other things we learn out from Lavan, like Sheva Brachos. But in any case, the Gemara learns out that a person's soulmate is from Hashem, because Lavan declares it's from God that Rivka and Yitzchak are meant to be together. Everyone holding with me so far? We're good? By the way, if I would have tried to suggest where else in the Torah is it suggested that soulmates are from God? Adam and Chav. That would have been my guess. But interestingly enough, that's not what the Gemara says. Okay, fine. Neventhal asks a really good kasha. He says, wait a second. I have a problem with the whole premise of everything we're trying to figure out here, because don't us God-fearing Jews know that everything's from Hashem? Haven't you guys heard enough shirim where the principle is constantly drilled in that everything that happens in our lives is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban writes that this is the principle of faith for a Jew. Hasidus is constantly talking about this. There are Gemaras which say that a person doesn't lift a finger without Hashem being involved in the process. Hakol bidei shemayim chutz mi yirat shemayim, right? Everything's from God. So let's assume that everyone agrees to that for right now. All right, we're not getting into the Rambam right now. But if everything is from Hashem, so what's the Gemara talking about that pointing out that it's from Hashem that a man and a woman will find each other? Your soulmate is from Hashem. But wait a second, everything's from Hashem. So what's the chiddush here? You hear the kasha? Everybody understand the question? Good question. What do you guys think? How would we understand what's the Gemara trying to say here? If everything's from God, so what's the chiddush? Okay, so I'll share Rav Nevin Sol's, because the time is short, I'll share Rav Nevin Sol's way of looking at it. Basically, the way he puts it is like this. You're right, everything is from Hashem. But there's a hashkacha klali, where God is watching everything and guiding in a general type of way. And then there are particular things where it's hashkacha pratit, where God is guiding in a very particular way, and he's watching over, and he's making sure that nothing goes astray. Like, I'll give you a muscle the way I was thinking about it. Let's say a mother is watching over her child. Okay? So he's playing in the yard and the mother's watching in general, but she's not going to every single step, like, move the child right or left. She's going to let him feel like he has freedom to move. But she's watching. But then if the child goes close to, I don't know, goes close to a cliff, she's going to right away run in and, like, move the child away. Right? Because that's something that's very, very precious. So similarly, there are certain times when God decides to get more involved than the general watching over that he's doing. Yeah? So for example, a tzaddik is on such a level of connection with Hashem that God is constantly guiding his life because the whole world, the whole universe is really set up for that tzaddik. And the more we become tzaddikim and get connected to Hashem, the more hashkacha we'll feel in our lives. I'm putting that in. No one's told me to say that, but I'm putting that in. Where's another place where the Torah is clear? There's more hashkacha, there's more divine providence in this particular place. There's one place in the universe where the Torah is clear.
Jerusalem.
But that is 100% true. But specifically in the Torah, what does the Torah point out? Not just Harbayit, but
Eretz Yisrael.
What does the Torah say in Devarim? Eretz Asher. Tamid enei Hashem elokech abo. It's a mefurish pasuk. God's constantly watching over Eretz Yisrael. Okay? And you're right that specifically in Yerushalayim, specifically in the Beit HaMikdash, specifically in the Old City, there's more of that providence that can be felt. But the Torah points out that in Eretz Yisrael, God's watching over more closely. Okay? And like you said, like in the Beit HaMikdash, there are certain places where, like, for example, in Eretz Yisrael, if you sin, the Torah says that God's going to spit you out. Because you're like in God's palace. And so God's right away gets rid of you. In the Beit HaMikdash, if you go into the wrong places in the Beit HaMikdash, if you do certain things which are improper in the Beit HaMikdash, what happens to you? You die. You're chayiv of karis, even if you bring a korban, but it's at the wrong time. Because that's a place of extreme, super-duper divine providence. Okay? Yeah? The says of Nevin Sol, there's certain times and certain things which are so crucial to the universe that God gets super-duper involved. Take, for example, in Jewish history. In general, people have free will. But there is one very famous time in the Torah when God took away someone's free will. When is that? God took away Paro's free will. Why? Because it was extremely important for Jewish history and for world history that whatever happened in Yitzhak Mitzrayim happened. Yeah, you all following me? So similarly, in Eretz Yisrael, in the Beit HaMikdash, it's extremely important. It's the heart of the universe, and therefore it's extremely important. So God will take away a little bit of that Bechira Chavim. Okay? Now let's go back to soulmates. Let's go back to Kiddushin. Right? What's it called when you marry a girl in Judaism? Just give it away a little bit. You're Mekadesh a girl. Right? It's just like the Beit HaMikdash. In other words, the woman you marry is going to make an extremely, extremely, extremely big impact on your life. Every single day, every single moment of your life will be impacted by that decision of the woman you marry. And not only will it impact you, but they say that when you get married, what are you doing? You are finding an interconnector, but what are you rebuilding? You're rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. You're making a mini Beit HaMikdash. Right? You're making a mini Mikdash, Mikdash Ma'at. Okay? So it's not just important for you as an individual, it's actually extremely important. The entire universe is kind of riding on you finding that right girl. Okay? So it's really, really important. And for that reason, suggests Rav Neventhal, Hashem gets specifically very involved in that process of you finding the right soulmate. Of course, at the end of the day, you need to do the hishtadlut, right? We didn't see Eliezer just like daven and do nothing. He went and searched for the right girl. He searched for the right character traits. He did everything possible. But at the end of the day, he also got God involved in that process. He prayed to God. He knew that Hashem was guiding him. And we also know that in that extremely crucial and life-changing choice that we're going to make of which soulmate, of finding our soulmate, Hashem is involved in that process. We might be very scared and nervous. How am I going to find the right one? I don't know which dating website to go to, which shadchanit, which girl to ask out. This Gemara is there to comfort us and tell us it's so life-changing, but Hashem is there to help you. Hashem's going to be there guiding you in that process. So that is Rav Neventhal's way of looking at soulmates. I would add on one caveat, my own personal, my own two cents on the matter. I think the institution of soulmates, the idea of soulmates, of bashert, is there much more for after you're married than when you're married. When you're married, in order to find your soulmate, I think you have to know that it's from Hashem, but basically do your shtadlus, go through all the same motions that anyone else would go through. You know, ask the girl on a date, try to find the right one, see if you enjoy spending time together, see if your heart's into it, see if your mind's into it, get into fights with her, see how well you argue with her, get her lots of chocolates, whatever. All the regular things that anyone else would do to find their... chocolates, flowers. Yeah. I personally recommend dating for a long time, for at least a year, at least, because you really don't know a person until you've gone out for a very long time and you're no longer in love. And as long as possible, as I would really suggest, a person should go out before he makes that marriage. Once a person is married, though, once a person has made that decision, you have to know that it's from Hashem, that Hashem was involved in that process, and that He gave you this specific girl, not necessarily because to make your life the easiest, but to challenge you in the exactly perfect way so that your soul will get developed to become the best you can be. And because it's from Hashem, we don't just willy-nilly throw it away if it's not working so well. We do everything possible to invest in it and make it work and change ourselves and work on ourselves because it is ultimately from a Kadosh Baruch Hu to make that marriage work. Of course, at the end of the day, there are exceptional situations and sometimes it just wasn't meant to be. And so, right? And we can talk about that. But in general, the Jewish way of looking at things is not the modern way of looking at things. If you were to ask me the main reason why the divorce rates are so high nowadays as opposed to in the olden days, I would probably say it's because there's no longer a stigma against divorce. That's the main reason, because it's not considered such a big deal anymore to get divorced. And I don't think that's bad. I think that's probably a good thing, all in all. I don't think we should look down upon people who get divorced. Not at all. Not at all, not at all. But at the same time, the Torah's perspective is that marriage is extremely holy, extremely sanctified, and it's from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we don't just willy-nilly say, no big deal, we'll just get another one. We invest everything possible to make the marriage work, and we know that it's from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem should bless us, that we should know that He's guiding us in our process to find our soulmates. We should develop ourselves so that we should get the most high-level soulmates possible, and we should have an amazing, beautiful life, and marriage, and wedding. Amen. Chaim. Amen. Amen.